30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. Not Beware of Spoilers. 30-minute reviews. I am Adam. And, you know, we're going to be doing some speculation today because it's kind of a slow news day as long as you're not looking at national politics. But just in general, we don't have a ton of entertainment news happening. We have the strikes are still ongoing. But we're going to speculate a little bit because if you listen to Beware of Spoilers, which I recommend you do, it's where I talk about new release movies and TV shows and video games, stuff like that. This week I did go back and replay Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory. Now, a little background with me and the Kingdom Hearts franchise. I've been a massive fan since I got Kingdom Hearts 2, and I played through that. Then I went back and played Kingdom Hearts 1, so I got 2 as a gift when I was a kid. Then I went back and played 1. And then from there, I've been kind of a massive fan ever since. I was a little let down by Kingdom Hearts 2, though I will replay it in the near future, I think, just see if it's still as I remember, or if it's just like, I was so amped because it's been like 10 years we were waiting for this game, and then by the time it does finally come out, it's not living up to the expectations that I set for it, which, in reality, any game that has 10 years of hype going into it would never live up to that expectation. So therein lies the issue. And I went back and played Melody of Memory. I had been playing on my computer the 1.5, 2.5 collection that's available on Epic, and I've been playing through that. And then I started going through my Switch games, and I was like, you know, maybe I should start playing through some of my Switch games that I've never played before. Because I have this bad habit of buying games and never playing them. It's where the Backlog Files game, or podcast, sub-podcast, came from. Now, it's been a while between games. That's kind of where this all comes from. So I went back and played Melody of Memories, and I didn't hate it, as evidenced by the fact that I have beaten the game and I'm still playing it to try and get the last few levels that I haven't unlocked yet, which I should probably look up what they are. And I just looked up what they are, so I'm probably going to stop pursuing that because I really don't need to look up and get the themes for Sephiroth and Lingering Will and Data Roxas. I don't necessarily need those. I'll live. But, you know, we'll see. The game doesn't add too much in terms of story, besides just more setup for the future. But there is a weird situation going on with Kingdom Hearts. The longest gap we've had between games was between Kingdom Hearts 2 and Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days, or 358/2, or whatever it is. The one where you play as Roxas, Shone, and Axel. That's the longest gap we've had. If my math is right, in September, the gap between Melody of Memory and that will be eclipsed. That was just under 3 years, and it'll be 3 years in November since Melody of Memory came out. Now, who knows when the next game's going to be? Who knows who's going to make the next game for Square? Who knows what the next game will even look like if it's not 4? But I don't know where we go from here. I think that if the next mainline game is 4, that's probably the most likely scenario. Because based on where 3 ended, and where Remind ended, and where now Melody of Memory picks up and then promptly ends, there isn't a place to go. There really isn't, let's be real about it. Like, what do you do in that interlude? Now, I think there's a possibility that, if I remember correctly, there are 4 teams working on Kingdom Hearts. There's the mobile team that was working on the Xehanort game that we've heard no progress on. There's a team working on 4, but we have 2 other teams. Is it possible that one of the teams is working on a game for the Switch's successor. Because it wouldn't be the first time that that's happened, because back when 3Ds, that was a 3DS game, I think that was announced around the time of the 3DS. Like, that was originally announced as part of the 3DS launch trailer, or announcement trailer. And then it ended up not being a launch title. And I think that if that's the case, that could be a possibility, where it's like, okay, they're working on a game to put there. If not that, then 4 could be it. I think there's also a possibility that they're working on a remake. Now, there are some issues that you do get into if you're going to do a Kingdom Hearts remake. Number one, I think they get away with using the Tarzan stuff in the original Kingdom Hearts because of the idea of what's it called? Like, because it's a remake, you're not changing anything profoundly, you're just making it HD, but they'd have to remake the game from the ground up because they lost all the files. Because I think the issue comes in where it's like, you can't use Tarzan because of issues with the estate of Edgar Rice Burroughs, if I remember correctly. So they can't do that. Which is why it's like, when you go back and play Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, or you go back and play any of the games, really, they never really reference the fact that they ever went to the world from Tarzan. Deep Jungle, if I remember correctly, is what it's called. And then if you, like, even in Melody of Memory, there's no reference to it. And the same go, and which is weird considering how big of a plot point it is in the first Kingdom Hearts. If you go back and play the first Kingdom Hearts, like the first time that they get into a fight, the team is over going to Deep Jungle, and in Deep Jungle is where they find the first navigation piece, and it's kind of an important part, but it's just not referenced ever again. And the same goes for in Melody of Memory. There's no reference to what's it called, to Port Royal. Despite Port Royal being a big part of the plot of Kingdom Hearts 3 and also Kingdom Hearts 2. If I remember correctly, it's one of the places that you fight Luxord there, if I remember correctly. And the point of all this is, I lost my train of thought because I got distracted, is could they do a remake from the ground up in the same style as Kingdom Hearts 3? Because that's the one thing, is that it's jarring how different 3 looks from the other games, and 3 and to an extent 2. No, not 2.8, 0.2. The issue becomes they can't use some of these properties. So what are they doing? Are they doing another remake? Maybe for PS5? Maybe that's what they've been working on all this time. They're doing a PS5, Xbox Series X, like, ground up remake. But at that point, would they have to change some of the world? Like, I think the Port Royal omission is because they don't want Johnny Depp. Like, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know if Disney is still distancing themselves from Johnny Depp the way they were back when Melody of Memory came out. And for right now, it's like, okay, so would they just do that again? How would that work? Like, there's a lot of questions that go into that. But the real thing is, I don't see how you do another game before 4. So when does 4 come out? The way I see it, and this is all speculation, I don't have any inside information, is 4 comes out in 2025, early 2025, with a reveal at D23 this year. Because D23 is still happening, and writer strike, SAG strike, be what they are, if they're still ongoing in September, then you can't have any of your big hitters there. You can't have the cast of Wish to show the new trailer off. You can't have the cast of the Marvels there to show off the Marvels. You can't have the cast of, Brave New World or Deadpool 3 or anything like that to show off. You need something. And last year they had that game showcase, and that game showcase did some good work for them. You can show off your animation, as long as you don't have the stars involved. But you can you, there's not a ton they can do. I think Kingdom Hearts 4 is a big thing that you can put in there and have that be the big, not announcement, it's been announced already, but the big, like, first big reveal. That's a big thing you can do there to kind of drive engagement. And then if you start promoting it there, we're gonna have next year in, I think it's in January, is Versus, not Versus, 7 Remake or 7 Integrate, whatever the hell it's called. But then after that, what's going on with Square? what is Square doing on the big title front? Because at that point, they won't have a Final Fantasy game that we know of in development, because they will have released 7 Part 2, and they will have released 16, because 16's already out. So what do they do? Where do you go from here? I think you start promoting Kingdom Hearts 4, and that becomes your big thing for the back half of the year into the next year. And I think Kingdom Hearts 4 has to be better than 3.
And look, I mean, if they're gonna do four, like, I think that part of the reason why, like three was underwhelming because three's story doesn't really make a ton of sense. Like, why is Sora going off on the side mission that's not really relevant, and that's the least interesting part of the story, and you are following that entirely? Like, it should have been more following everyone, because that's kind of what everyone was kind of looking for in this. Like, I remember, after all of the other stories, it's like, oh, we're gonna get to pick and choose who we play as. There's gonna be different stories for everyone, and then it's like, no, then that happens. And then when you get to for three, and then when you get to Remind, it's just, oh, it's just kind of retconning the end of three to fix the dumbest part. Like, okay, whatever. So if we're going to this quote realm of fiction, which is the other side, because it's like there's like all the 9 million realms that exist already: the realm of light, the realm of dark, the realm of nothing, the realm of dream, the realm of data, the realm of bullshit, the realm of whatever. Like, then there's the fiction reality, which is the other side of it, where it's like there's also the realm of fiction, which is the opposite, equal and opposite of this. It's kind of like the dark universe in DC, where it's like there's the regular universe and then there's the dark universe. So except not everything's necessarily evil there. So if Sora is going to the realm of fiction, and that's where it's going to take place, maybe that's why they were holding out on some of the other Disney acquisitions. But then the question is, like, how does that work? Like, because doing this and flipping it where you have this alternate realm of all fiction, this would have given you the perfect opportunity to go with, like, oh, and this is where we put Pixar. This is where we put Disney, this is where we put Marvel, this is where we put Star Wars, this is where we put all this stuff. Where it's like the canon, quote unquote, is the story of the Disney movies, while the extra stuff is there. And I would like to see how that plays. And it's like, look, here's the thing. I've seen speculation about what worlds can be in this game. I think if you're sitting here and you're going like, what's it called? Like, oh, this is where they do Treasure Planet, or this is where they do Atlantis. It's like, if Disney has barely acknowledged the movies exist in the last 20 years, I doubt they're gonna be in this new game. Like, it doesn't seem like Treasure Planet, Dinosaur, Brave to an extent, I would assume none of these make it into the final cut of this new game. Like, they're gonna wanna, I think if they do another Kingdom Hearts and they wanna re I think that Kingdom Hearts 3, like, I think the last 5 years of Kingdom Hearts have done a lot of damage to the brand. I'm gonna be completely honest. Because I think 3 didn't live up to expectations. It had no way of doing it, and then when it did try to do that, it wasn't close. Remind was not well received as a DLC. Melody of Memory, not great. And then all it is endless remakes and mobile games. So inherently you have this uphill battle. If you want, you can now bank on some of what's happened. And I think if you're gonna do that, you can bring back some of the characters from Seven, because that was always the Final Fantasy game that had the most characters appear. It was always Seven, because Cloud and Yuffie and all that. I mean, Leon's from Eight, but you can bring in these other characters, and that would help. I think build up some of what is missing, but I think you need to dip into the more popular mainstream kind of titles, and I think that, like, if like Chicken Little was in two because Chicken Little was popular in Japan. Chicken Little will not be getting a world in this game. And I think the thing too is that in four, I don't want to see Sora going to different worlds and getting new appearances every world he goes to. Like, that was the one thing that, like, I didn't particularly care for in three, where it's like, okay, he's going to the monster world, now he looks like a furry. Okay, now he's going to a Toy Story world, now he looks like an action figure. Now he's going to Pirates of the Caribbean, and he's got that stupid, the pirate outfit. Now he's going to, and the only place where he looks the same are, like, San Francisco and the other one. I forgot what it was. But it, like, if he's gonna do this, I want to see him kind of stick with the outfit and not change the outfit everywhere he goes. And I think I said it when they announced Toy Story and Monsters Inc. were the two big world, which were the big worlds. And it's like, but wait, if it's gonna be Monsters Inc. and that, it's like, so they spent a lot of time designing these characters, and that should take space to have these alternate costumes just for one world. And then they ended up having the least amount of Disney worlds of any game so far. Like, Kingdom Hearts 3 felt smaller than 2, and that's not good. So that I kind of hope if they do a 4, well, when 4 comes out, but look, we'll see what happens when it happens. As for our other topic, we have a new Loki trailer today, or yesterday the trailer came out, and I watched the trailer. I'm interested, and the thing is, too, I think I talked about this a little bit when I saw The Haunted Mansion, where it's like, Disney, you know, Marvel has been kind of not doing great lately. Secret Invasion didn't particularly care for it. We did full episode reviews of that going on. Most of the Disney Plus shows, I would say, were not fantastic. But it is what it is. I can't do anything about that. And if we look at what's going on with all of these, you know, with these Disney Plus shows, they don't necessarily all work. And to that end, it's not specifically the Disney Plus shows. It's also the movies. Like, Quantumania, I enjoyed, but I don't see myself ever going back and rewatching it. Like, Love and Thunder, never going to rewatch that. But we'll see what happens in the future. And I'm mildly concerned about Loki to that end. I'm not 100% sold on this idea that Loki will be great. We've been burned too many times before with these things in the past. That said, I watched this trailer and I'm like, all right, I'll watch it. Like, it looks entertaining. And I just kind of want to see where it goes. The issue is, so much of past performance has indicated this will not be great, and even the first season of Loki had its issues, if not for that finale, which that finale, again, I'll say, would have been better if it weren't for the fact that it was entirely designed to show the shareholders that you were using the investment of 20th Century, then it would have been better. But the issue is, that's what it was. And you can't get around that. So, if we watch, you know, if we're looking for what this is going to be in the future, if we're looking for what this thing is, I think that, you know, this looks like what season one was promised to be. Loki on this mission, jumping through time, trying to stop whatever it is that's going to try and kill everyone, be it, you know, Kang or be it someone else. If that's the case, I'm here for it. Quantum Leap with Loki. I wanted that when the first season came out. First season wasn't that, and then now it seems like this is what it's going to do for the second season, although it could be, again, a misleading thing, like with Secret Invasion. So, I'm interested, but we'll see. I'm not super, you know, gung-ho about any of that. And I feel like there was another big story, too. And at the end of the day, it's like, let's see it play out. Let's see where it goes. Let's see how it works out. But until we see that, we can't really judge. Because every time I see, you know, these trailers, like I had just come off of Secret Invasion, and then I'm watching the trailer for the Marvels, and I'm like, God damn, that looks great. And it's like, but in the last year, they're 1 and 2 in terms of quality projects. So if it was someone else, you'd be like, all right, this is good. But I think they're still banking on a lot of goodwill from past projects doing very well. But we'll see. I feel like there was another big thing. Oh, Sony's shifting release slate. Because Sony went and moved all their movies around. So let me just pull up the full list of what we have here. Hold on one second, because silly me, I didn't bring this up beforehand. So here are the release date shifts as they were announced. Bad Boys 4 will officially be coming out on June 14th, 2024. This means it'll be up against Inside Out 2 from Pixar. Could we be looking at another Barbenheimer situation? Probably not. Venom 3 has a release date of July 12th, 2024, So in under a year, we'll be looking at Venom 3. My issue with this is the movie was shot during the writer's strike. I think they're still in production. I'm not 100%. I think they're paused because of the SAG strike. But nothing about a writer's strike Venom movie sounds good, let alone a movie that's coming out in under a year and they're probably not done with production yet. Gran Turismo has been delayed 2 weeks to August 25th, 2023. There will be sneak previews throughout the month in an effort to generate good word of mouth for the movies, since the actors can't promote the movie. Madam Web has moved 2 days from February 16th to February 14th. This puts it coming out on a Tuesday? That's an odd choice. Why? What is that week? No, 14th is a Wednesday. We're seeing more and more of that. I think it's working out for studios, too. And it's working out for me, too. Kraven the Hunter has been delayed almost a full year from October 6th of this year to August 30th of next year, which indicates to me they had to do extensive reshoots that they won't be able to do after the strike is resolved. Ghostbusters Afterlife 2 has moved from December 20th to March 29th of next year. No surprise there, because they have, what's it called? The movie was not done in production when the SAG strike started, and that, you know, that does track that they would have to move it. Beyond the Spider-Verse has been removed from the release slate entirely, which makes sense because none of the actors had even had a script yet by the time the SAG strike had begun, and the movie was slated for next March. And a reboot of The Karate Kid has moved from June 7th of next year to December 13th of next year, putting it into direct competition with Marvel's The Thunderbolts, assuming that Marvel does not move its release slate. I'm not going to speculate about release date moves, because last week I did that, and I was made an ass of myself. So, it is what it is. I think that this is another move by the studios to kind of try and demoralize the striking actors and writers, because it's showing that they don't think the strikes are going to be resolved in time for some of these things to be promoted. That said, a lot of these from Sony are not done yet. Like, I think that if it was just they're moving Kraven to adjust that, I think moving Kraven is because they're not done with it, and they have to do more reshoots and then more effect shots after. I would assume it's that more than anything else. As for, what's it called? As for the rest, we'll see. I think that, you know, I think a lot of it comes from the fact that, like, they already have dates set, so they're moving things around that. So they're they took Spider-Verse off the slate and then put Ghostbusters in its spot because they had that date reserved. And a lot of the dates they moved to were dates that Sony already had reserved. And therein lies the issue and why Sony was able to do this. But we'll see all that in the future. And we'll wrap up there for today. Next week we'll be doing a Backlog Files episode about... SpongeBob Revenge of the Flying Dutchman. We'll be back with more news next week. This week on 30 Minute Reviews, we have, beware of spoilers, we have a catch-up of Star Trek we'll be doing later in the week. We'll be doing an episode about, tomorrow we'll be doing Mutant Mayhem, the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Friday we'll be doing The Meg 2, and I feel like we have another movie on Sunday. And over here, we're going to be doing our anniversary episode this weekend. Peter will be joining in, possibly Josie will be joining in. We're going to do our top 10 movies of all time. So we'll be doing that this weekend on Saturday. So until then, have a great rest of your week.